So today's message that God put on my heart is sort of a systems integration approach. Now, some of you know that by training, I'm a physicist and engineer, and part of what I do is taking various subsystems and making them work as one system and then doing some kind of a mission with that. All right. What has that got to do with what we're talking about today? Well, today I'm going to try to pull together a couple of topics that we've been talking about for the last couple of years, actually. Some very recently, but some that go way back, and you'll recognize them when we get to it. But my prayer today is that the Lord will be able to show you how these are not different topics, but rather topics that all speak to the same message in our heart and the message that God is trying to get across to all of us as the body of Christ. So what am I referring to? Well, for as long as I can remember, New Covenant has preached, hear and obey. You've heard that many, many times before. We've talked about for years hearing the word of the Lord and obeying what his directions are for us. In addition to that, we have encouraged for almost as long all of our members to practice the presence of God. We've even had a course on that we've taught here from the pulpit and that we teach as part of our prophetic ministry course. Practicing the presence of God is a very important thing in your life. And there's a formality to that if you follow, it actually opens up some doors that might not otherwise be open. As part of that, in the prophetic class, we've also taught about hearing God's voice, and I've spoken from the pulpit about that. How do we recognize when God is speaking to us? How do we know that it's really him and not some other voice, distinguishing it from the background noise and other competing voices that are so prevalent in the world today? How do we respond to that? And then one of our seven foundational principles in New Covenant, you can find them on our website, or if you were part of our members class, new members class that we had that we just completed last week, as a matter of fact, one of the foundational principles is servanthood. Everyone is part of that body of Christ and all have a part to play within it, and our heart should be to serve others, just as Jesus served others. New Covenant is also firmly in the camp of preparing all members for body ministry. In other words, it's not the sole responsibility of the pastors and elders or the deacons or the ministry leaders to meet the needs of our congregation, but it's for all of us to be prayed up and to be prepared to minister to each other. We see this in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. And this is a very famous verse. It's sometimes called the fivefold ministry. But the end part of it is the part that some people sometimes gloss over a little bit. So Ephesians 4:11 says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to a measure of the nature of the fullness of Christ." In other words, the reason why we have these special designated offices of apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, elder is because we are to impart through the Spirit of God the ability for each of you as members of the body of Christ to achieve the same level of service that Christ did in his life. So you come to the fullness of the stature, the fullness of Christ. That's what it's talking about. Now, more recently, in that new members class that I referred to earlier, Bob McCaig talked about a process that we have here at New Covenant. It's part of our written into our directions, if you will, our covenant, our constitution that we're required to have by the state of Virginia to operate as a nonprofit organization within the state of Virginia, that we follow here to empower and enable any of our members to develop a ministry under the covering of New Covenant. Some of you missed that class. That's okay. But when Bob and Marcy come back, I encourage you, if you weren't able to be part of the class, to reach out to Bob, and he'll get you a copy of the materials that we shared. And he was the guy that taught the class, and we can get that to you because I think you'll find it useful, particularly if what I speak about today resonates with you. Now, these are the topics that we've talked about over months and months and years in some cases. And they seem to somewhat be all over the map, but what I would like to do today is try to tie all these together. What are they really telling us if you look at it at the big picture? I'd like to talk about identifying your calling and then developing confidence and freedom to operate in that calling. And so the title of today is Freedom in Your Calling. So you've heard many times before, and we've said here from the pulpit and in our classes that we've taught, that God speaks to us in a variety of ways. He speaks to us through the written word of the Bible. He speaks to us through the rhema word of prophetic ministry, where people hear on your behalf, or you hear directly from the Holy Spirit, things that are relevant to your situation. There are prophetic words by other believers that you may get. Brian Francis Hume has been here many times ministering to us and is amazingly astute at hearing from the Lord and ministering that prophetic word to people. Sometimes God speaks to us in dreams or visions. I've gotten many calls on the telephone saying, I just had this weird dream last night, and does it mean something? And sometimes it does. Sometimes it meant that you just ate too much pizza before you went to bed. So what I don't want to rehash all these topics. That's not the purpose of today. But what I want you to remember is just hear and obey. But how do you do that? What's that all? What does that mean for you? The point is that when we truly commit to practicing the presence of God in our lives, which is one of those topics that we talked about, He will reveal things to us. When we are willing to listen, He will answer our questions, whether they're spoken or not. God knows your heart. And yes, what you ask Him in your words is one thing, but He can also know what you're thinking inside, what you haven't even spoken. He knows the deepest needs and concerns that you have, and He can address those directly with you through one of these mechanisms, through the Word, through the Rhema Word, through prophetic, through whatever. So let me ask a question. How many of you truly feel that you are called by God to some specific purpose in your life? How many? Oh, a lot of them are. Okay. If I ask you, could you describe what it is that He has asked you to do? Could you verbalize that? Any volunteers? Yes, because otherwise the people online can't hear it.
Well, first of all of us are called to give God glory, to glorify Him.
Okay.
And then me, I kind of feel like I've fallen to the serving Him. So you can serve Him through prayer and just reaching out to somebody, like a text or a phone call, encouraging, a lot of little things to serve God.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. Anyone else? No volunteers? That's okay. That's all right. That's all right. Not a problem. Well, not all of you raised your hand. And as Nancy said, she's cutting to my chase here really quickly, which is good. For those who can't, I'm here to tell you, and Nancy's here to tell you today, that you all are called by the Lord. You simply might not yet know what that calling is. So that's really the purpose of my message, to highlight that, to sort of open your heart to hearing from God in one of these ways. And then what do you do with that? What should you do with that when you do finally recognize that you are called to do something for God? You have to realize that God has a plan for all of us. And the reason we don't see more people doing God's work today is not because He doesn't call us. It's because we fail to respond to His call. We are too busy sometimes, especially in this part of the world, to stop and listen. We don't hear him clearly. We haven't been listening to the messages where we talk about how do you discern the voice of God? How do you recognize his voice amongst the noise and the turmoil that's going on around us sometimes? We don't identify with it, perhaps. How can I do that, you think, when God says, I'd like you to do this, and you say, I'm not ready to do that, Lord. I'm not qualified to do that. I can't do that. The point is, you don't have to be. God is. And so that's the message that we want to hear today. Sometimes you might be fearful because we don't feel up to that task, and it's just bigger than you can imagine getting your arms around a little bit. Matthew 22:14, though, should be an assurance to you. It says, for many are called, but few are chosen. Some people don't respond appropriately to that calling of God. Now, note that in today's context, I'm not talking about being called to salvation. That is for every person, and that's a personal decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But rather today, I'm talking about God's calling to you for how to put your faith into action. Once you make that commitment to him, now he's got a job for you. And that job could be, as Nancy said, anything from praying to serving to directing a ministry to filling a stadium with people and evangelizing. The pastor, a gentleman named Ham, was a tent preacher back in the early 1900s, and not many people know his name, but he's famous for one thing. He brought a gentleman named William Graham to faith, and Billy Graham went on to, oh man, fill stadiums. He preached the gospel to presidents, to queens, to people, millions of people all around the world. And it came because one man was faithful to his calling and brought Billy Graham to faith in Jesus Christ. So don't prejudge what God is calling you to do. Say, well, that's not a very big thing. You don't know that. God knows exactly how it fits into his master plan. We are told in 1 John to test the spirits. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that we're to question God. All right? People like to argue with God sometimes. You're going to lose that argument. But rather, what it's calling us to do is to confirm that what we are being called to do does not violate God's written word, and to assure that it really is God and not our own desires or emotions creeping in. There's a strong human tendency to sort of, all right, I hear what you're saying, God, and here's what I think it means. And to put yourself into it and let your emotions run out ahead of yourself. And your emotions are based in your soul, not in your spirit. And God wants to touch your spirit and have your spirit lead what's going on. It's an interesting distinction there. We've talked about that before as well. There are worldly influences that will try to sway us and persuade us to take an easier path or a different path that usually heads in a different direction than what God wants for us. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to dissuade you from doing what God is asking you to do. 1 John 4:1 is where we see this. It says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And then along with that, there's another warning that comes out of Luke 16:13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, what that mammon is an uncommon word, but it means that if we're going God's path and the world's telling us to go to a different path, you can't do both. You have to make a choice. You can't serve both. Because one of them is going to have to give. And if you pick the mammon way, if you pick the earthly way, if you pick the way of the world, you're going to miss the boat on what God has for you. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. What happens if that happens? Remember that God doesn't change his mind. If you are called, You need to be able to recognize it and choose to respond appropriately. God always is having his plan A. He doesn't need a plan B. He knows what's going to happen. And if you want to be part of his plan A, there's not a plan B that you could pick the worldly way and it'll get you there as well. That's not the way it works. He has a master plan, and he will use you if you accept, and he will use someone else if you decline. Romans 11:29 says, "For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable." That means they cannot be taken back. The God, if he gives you that calling, the gifts and calling of God, he's not going to take it back from you. If you reject it, he'll work with somebody else, but he's not going to pull it back. You can reject it, but he's not going to pull it back. That's the point of that verse. Now, what should our reactions be? How do we react to this? What do we do with this? Once you have recognized God's voice and the calling that he places on you, how do you deal with that? Well, first, as we read it, as we read in Matthew earlier, there are some people who will outright ignore it or just reject it. Either they fence it off and it's not something they want to deal with in their life right now, or they hear it and say, "I don't think so. I think I want to go this easier path." That's one reaction. Not a good one. That's one of them. Some will acknowledge it and accept it. That's what we want. We want you to acknowledge that calling and trust in the Lord to accept it, and we'll show you why that's a good choice. I believe that all should follow God's cues and implement them. What he wants you to do is put your faith into action. That's what your calling is all about. It's taking this passage from that we talk about in, we're going to get to in a second, from James, that we are to, faith without works is dead. All right, we're going to come to that verse. I'm going to jump ahead, otherwise I'm going to screw up Brandon and his slides over there.
You're already out of order, don't worry about it.
Oh, okay, no problem. So, one of the things that we should look for in our reactions, and how do we test these things? One way to test the spirits is, you may have heard the saying, follow the peace. Follow the peace. What that refers to is a continued sense of internal peace when you have consciously committed to God's path. It doesn't mean that you suddenly sail into calm waters and all your troubles stop. No, it's what is your internal peace despite what's going on around you. Can you show peace in your own soul, in your own emotions, in your own life, despite the fact that there's waves crashing over your boat? This is it manifests itself as a sense of freedom to act on what God has planted in your heart. So this is where we get the commitment, and this is why I call it freedom in your calling. Because that sense of peace, now the fear is gone, the anxiety is gone, your faith can now take root and grow, and you can freely go into whatever it is that God is asking you to do. It may seem a little bit contradictory, but submitting to God's authority actually releases us into a greater freedom than we've ever experienced before. Why is that? Well, what is salvation doing for you? What has it done? We talk about it at the Seder. When they came out of Egypt and God brought them into the promised land eventually, they were being taken out of the slavery, the bondage of slavery. We talk about it when we go into communion, and the body that is given for us and the blood that is given for us takes us, it's for the forgiveness of our sins. It takes us out of the bondage of sin. So we, whether you recognize it or not, if you're in the world's way, you are in deep bondage to the sin of the world, to the situation that the world is in, which is a very sinful situation. When God gives you that grace to come to a saving belief in Jesus Christ, all of a sudden that shackle falls away. And yes, we put ourselves into servitude to God, to servanthood, and under His law, as written in the Bible, Old and New Testament. And it's not law in a binding legal kind of sense, but it's the law of His love and His grace and His goodness. But He has certain standards that He wants you to meet. And if you are willing to meet those standards, then you have total freedom within Him to do that, to do what He is asking you to do. That's the freedom that we're talking about. John 14:27 tells us Jesus was talking in the upper room after His Seder meal with His disciples. And He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid." He was dealing with their emotions. He was dealing with their souls. He was dealing with those things that creep in because they were under the foot of the Romans at that time. And they were also being harassed by the Pharisees. Their own religious leaders were harassing them as well. So they were fearful. We saw that after the crucifixion. What did they do? They ran and hid until such time as Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to them and said, "This is what I was talking about." Philippians 4, 6 and 7 gives us that other side of it too. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You see the process that goes on. We pray, we give thanks to the Lord, He graces us with His presence, and fear goes away, anxiety goes away, and now, through Christ Jesus, we have the ability to do what He's asking us to do, even if you don't feel up to it. Last week, when Edwin spoke here on this pulpit, he mentioned the need for patience. When God calls you, that calling might not become evident immediately in your life. Remember, he spoke about the anointing of King David as a young shepherd, and the fact that he was out working in the fields when the prophet came to his father and said, "Bring all your sons here," and he brought all but David. David was the youngest of them. And he went and looked, examined each one of them. He tested the spirits and said, "You sure there's nobody else?" He said, "Well, there's a little guy out in the field taking care of the sheep. Bring him in." And sure enough, that was the one that God said, "This is the one. This is the one I have selected." But immediately afterwards, he gets anointed with the oil. And what does he do? He goes back out to take care of the sheep again. Nothing changed. Nothing physically changed. And in fact, it's a little bit after that that you read in the scripture that he had this encounter with this guy named Goliath. Thank God he had that anointing on him when he faced Goliath. Did you ever think about that? The timing of that was deliberate from God. God anointed him to be able to get through that next hurdle in his life. If David would have gone immediately to Saul and said, "Hey, Samuel just said I'm your boss now," that probably would not sit well with King Saul. In fact, we see later that Saul actually went after David because he felt threatened by him. But the torch had passed, and eventually David did become king. And he fulfilled that. Now, if you think about that, if he would have done it a different way and tried to make it work under his own power, and it failed, there would have been some drastic consequences, because you recognize, if you read in the books of Matthew and Luke, the genealogy of Jesus descends from King David, not shepherd kid out in the field. So if David would have violated God's promise to him and tried to make it happen on his own, that may have screwed up the whole line going down to the eventual Savior of the whole world. Interesting to think about those things sometimes. With us, we can take a lesson from that. Don't let your emotions run ahead of God. Don't let your thoughts run ahead of God. Be patient. Look for His guidance. Be open to His word. And then act accordingly. All right. So how do you do that? Is there practical things that you can do? Well, first, some of them are recognitions that you can make. First off, recognize who you are in Christ. You are a royal ambassador. You have His authority backing you up when you are working in His will. That's a big deal. That is a really big deal. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." Royal priesthood. "A holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." That's an amazing charter. A holy priesthood, a royal priesthood. Many just walk out their lives loving God, and that's a good thing. And He does things with them, He does things in them, and He does things through them daily. That's fine. He does that. He's going to do that anyhow. You can walk in miracles. But many times they're not even aware of what's going on. There is so much more that they could be experiencing. So it's good to let God do things around you and through you. But with a conscious effort on your behalf, it can be so much more. So I encourage you to seek that more, to be open to what He is leading you to do. Be His hands and His feet, His eyes and His ears. Be His ambassador to the world. Next thing you can do is admit to yourself that God is really in charge, and He has both the authority and the power to do whatever He wants. Matthew 28:18 says, "Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" What do we not understand about the word all? All authority belongs to Jesus Christ. So if we are working in His will and we are His ambassadors, then all authority is granted to us on His behalf. Not because we're powerful, not because we're extra special gifted. It's because He is in charge and we are doing His work. We're just stand-ins for Him in the world, in a sense. The next thing you got to do when you come to that recognition is that you have to submit to God's will in your life. You have to set your heart to be obedient. Here we are again. It's a heart thing. It's what's in your heart. It's what your thoughts and your mind and your will, your emotions, all those things. Set them to God. Say, "God, I give it all to You. I'm willing to let You lead me in this path." When you do that, we read in Colossians 1:9-11. "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power," to His glorious power, "for all patience and long suffering with joy." You see what's in it? There's so much in that passage. We get wisdom and understanding from Him through the Holy Spirit. We are filled with the knowledge of His will when we accept Him and say, "Okay, God, what's the next step?" Not me running out and saying, "Follow me, God, I know where we're going." That's not the way it works. You hold back and say, "God, what's my next step? What rock do I need to step on so I don't slip and fall into the river? How do I get through this?" And then you are strengthened as you go, according to His power, and for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Long-suffering, ooh, there's that word again. There's that patience idea, that sometimes it takes longer than what you would like it to take. But God's timing is always good. You have to have faith in that. Trust in Him for that. And then as you begin this process, as you begin this walk with Him, remain in continual prayer and constant communication with higher headquarters. Those who have been in the military know how important it is to stay in constant communication throughout an entire operation, because if you're starting to go down somewhere and take a particular assigned action, but the situation on the battlefield changes and the commander is trying to reach you saying, don't cross that river yet, we're not ready, go this way instead, and he can't reach you, you are open to disaster. And the same thing happens with us in our spiritual walks. If we get that first message and say, Roger, I got it, got you, God, and you charge off down the hill, and God says, wait a minute, go this way instead, you need to hear that. You need to be sensitive to that. So you do that through being constantly in prayer with Him. And be thankful and in praise no matter what is happening daily, even if it seems like nothing is happening. Praise God anyhow. Thank Him anyhow. Because you have confidence that you're in His perfect path for you. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Always with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to me. Whatever you do, do it to the best of your abilities and do it for the glory of God. That's the real reason why we're doing it. Nancy alluded to that earlier. She says her job, her calling is to praise the Lord and bring glory to Him. Right on. Excellent. That's exactly what it should be. Matthew 28:18. Oh, am I right? Yeah, we are. Sorry about that. First Peter 4, that's the one we're looking for. Sorry about that, Brendan. Each one has received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. And in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. On that. We all are gifted. We all get gifts from God. There's several places in Scripture that describes the gifts of the Spirit. And all people get gifts from God like those in different amounts and for different purposes, but He gives them to everybody. And so when you get that, the call of 1 Peter 4 is to minister it to one another. There's that body ministry idea again. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, if he speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. That means don't speak out of your own knowledge. Don't speak out of your own emotions, but let God's glory, God's grace, God's wisdom, as reflected in the Bible and reflected in the prophetic words that you receive, that's what you minister. Minister God's word to people, not your good advice, because your good advice may be misleading. Now, as I mentioned at the very beginning, if your calling appears to be related to or perhaps in the form of a new ministry at New Covenant, then we have an established administrative procedure to help you make that come to pass. And for those of you who missed the class, let me summarize it for you. First off, we ask that once you get that, make sure you understand it in your own mind. Put a plan together. What does that mean, God? Okay, what does that mean I have to do? What are you asking me to do? And just, you know, write it out or at least have it in your head. Then bring it to the pastor elders. And that's not for the purpose of saying, you know, passing judgment on it, but just to discern if there's something we get to augment what God is giving you. Can we help clarify that? Where two or more are gathered, He is there. So it's good to bring it before the elders to be able to discern the fullness of what it is that God is really saying. We then also can provide prayer covering for you as you step into this new thing that God is asking you to do. You then identify any special resources that you might need. Do you need a room to do something? Do you need access to our website? Can you set up a web page for it? Or whatever it might be. It could be anything. It may just be, add me, Lord God, to the prayer list because I want to become an intercessor. He's asking me to intercede for people. And you may not be listed on our list. We have about 75 people right now on our list of intercessors that get those automated prayer requests that come off our website. And it automatically goes out to all of them, and they all pray. If you're not part of that, and if God's calling you to be part of that, then one of the resources you need is to be added to that list so that you get those prayer requests automatically. That's fine. It's between you and God. We can make it happen. And then finally, the pastoral fellowship, when all that is done, will help you get any needed training that you have, and you'll be released to fulfill God's plan for you, and we'll support you to the fullest throughout the whole process. A couple people have done that already. The Moos is a great example of that. Mothers of Offenders. There was a need discerned by one of our members, and she got it going. The New Covenant has been helping her with that, and now it's reaching out to multiple states to reach out to mothers of young people who have been arrested for various reasons, and they have to deal with that in their life. And they get now support. They have a way to get support from the Lord on that because of one person being faithful to what God was calling them to do. So, to summarize, practice the presence of God in your life. Start there. Remain constantly in prayer. Continue with that. Open your heart to obedience. Recognize your calling. Allow God to guide you through it. And when you do this, you will experience the confirmation of His calling on your decision. You will feel that peace that passes all understanding. You will see fruitful results in God's time, sometimes even surprising success. You do something and all of a sudden it comes off and people come and say, boy, that really touched my heart. I needed that right at that moment. And you go, thank you, Lord, because I didn't know that. I wouldn't have known that. And you get confirmation then through the Spirit and the Word and the encouragement of other believers. When you're doing God's work and you're coming up to a decision point and you open the Bible open, sometimes people call it Bible bingo, right? And you just open it up to some passage someplace. Sure enough, there will be a word that speaks to your heart. And you've read that passage many times before, but it never meant anything to you. But suddenly it means something because of the situation you're in and the fact that God wants to speak to you through that message in a new way. Because now it applies to your current situation. That's why this book is so amazing, because it was written 2,000 years ago, and yet it's still relevant today, every turn of the way. No other book can say that. You read a novel, and you know how it ends. Why read it again? It's not going to change the ending when you read it the second time. But yet, this book is adaptable. It's like somebody comes in and rewrites it every night, you know. It's the Holy Spirit opening it up to new interpretations in your heart. So when you get that confirmation, what the result is that you have freedom from fear or anxiety. Remember the Philippians 4 chapter. And John 8:36, we'll finish with this one. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. That means that this whole process is led by the Lord. And when we acknowledge Him as our leader, as acknowledge Him as our guiding light, as our Savior, as Lord of your life, meaning you are now walking in His footsteps, then you will feel these things. You'll see this fruit in your life. And you will be free. Free from what the worldly boundaries have set for you previously that you couldn't see a way to get past. God finds a way. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God who speaks to us, that you are the God who has a plan for each one of us. Lord, may our hearts and our ears and our minds be open to your leading so that we might see that path that you have for each one of us. Lord, give us the ability to wait for your leading, to wait on you. Help us, Lord God, to control that urge to run ahead of you and to do more on our own strength, because, Lord, that's not what you're calling us to do. If we had the ability to do that, Lord, there'd be no need for Jesus. And yet he is there. He's there living today because he went to the cross on our behalf, but he rose from the dead. He conquered the grave, Lord God. And he is alive today. So, Lord, we just come before you now and we set our hearts upon you. We open our hearts to you. We set our hearts in obedience to your word, Lord God, in all things in our lives. And we will celebrate together with you, Lord God, on those streets that are golden. When after our lives are done and we've been faithful, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. May that be our lot in life, Lord God. Lord, I just lift this all up. In Jesus' name. Amen.